Jewish children. feeling at the heart, the feeling at the heart is then the truth of God. Has the shalom, God forbid that the battle between them would have left here at the start of the time of famine. A few months of soup in the wheels of all that there would be left to eat was the shadow of the grain. Now the king never had a time to leave him. The little gay man and children of what it means is that the hunger was infinitely worse than that. The sentiment was not indeed, that's why they left, and they weren't coming for that. The gay man and children, Shabbat and the Arcadia are coming off the ground, the local issue. They should have prayed for the generation they didn't. The prayers of Malcolm the Criminal may have been able to accomplish great things in heaven, and they didn't pray. Pray tell me that in short and cut off. Why don't you think that they were punished? Because they married non-Jewish women? They're sent to you, but sure, my father comes out and this is another purely defying all over again. The obvious that they married non-Jewish women and we're talking about the fate of the pain of all those involved in married non-Jewish women. So that's the reason, because they didn't pray for their generation. There's a third opinion that says they were punished, shedding people, rebuilding, shedding soil. They caused the heart of Israel to fall. Though it's a time of crisis, as long as we all sit together, it's okay. But the moment they see a great person jump ship, it sends a message of such despair to the Jews who are left behind. He's going to get in our hands the American passport. He's getting out of here. He's getting out of here. I know this is a dilemma. When I was in Yeshiva, we got this dilemma. Oh, when I was here in 55 to 56. If you think these are terrible times, and they are, those were pretty terrible too. It was the process. It wasn't, they hadn't created the word Intifada yet, but they had created the word Fedayim. It was the Fedayim invasion. Every night, Jews were being killed in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. The only thing that I don't understand about those years of Jews being killed, it wasn't a single settlement in the whole country. We didn't have the Arabs. We didn't have people in the Shalom. We were religions in a little sliver of land. If you wanted to try to imagine where the hotel was, you'd get on the roof of some building around here, and somebody would tell you, if you go 500 in that thing, and imagine looking down 10, that's the hotel. About 3 or 4 times during the year, the American embassy notified all American citizens of the country that they should prepare for evacuation. And then 6 feet is arriving in Haifa, and all Americans should report to be taken out and rescued. So here I was machining on this. Truth is, it didn't occur to me at all that I would say goodbye to my friends and be ashamed of that. Bye-bye, boys. I got an American passport. I'm getting on the USS Columbia. I'm going to stay here in the curtain. But anyway, just to be able to talk with our great Mashiach then, at the festival, that is a great conference. So in that case, the Americans are not going to say that. Listen, the American consulate embassy has told us to get ready to leave. So he says, stupid question for me to answer. I can't answer that question. But I can tell you one thing. If the Chazanish were alive, he would have said, never leave, because this is going to be the safest place of all. Which, of course, was the only. Can you imagine what it meant? People who did leave? People who did leave? In a sense, it's the struggle of the ship. So that was the third opinion. But wait a minute, they married Jesus. There is a fourth opinion in the Bible that says they don't come because they married Jesus. So they have four opinions. So four opinions. They left Exodus, the coast guards of Shimei Yahweh. set the children guard, they didn't pray for their people. They heard, they caused despair. And four, they married my Jewish people. So I had a rabbi 40 years ago. That's 40 years ago. When I was a student in the Islam of Baltimore, I had a rabbi by the name of a fellow from last day, the side of the brother. He was a great father.
Thank you.
It's also clear that within our summer is going to be any place in the world. And as long as he accepts upon himself the Sabbath of God, our business, he has the halachic status of Keri Kosha. But don't discover something else. And that really appeared about a month or two ago in Daf Yomi. There were a succession of laws that were promulgated by the rabbis. The last one was by the court of the Hashem Kohen during the period of the Ben Amidrash, which prohibited marriage with a Keri Kosha. Up until that time, one could marry a Keri Kosha. Is it the kind of shidduch that's in, we're not talking about a sanctified Keri Kosha, a Keri Kosha made in Torah and the Rabbanon was mutter. Wasn't we not asking to marry a Keri Kosha? No. Just trust me, she is so troubled. Thank you. He says, yes, it's true. The terrible men that we still said they were put to death because they married good and all. This is a different story. And obviously, the human body holds not a hand. And I think it's what we should be covered up. But he says, you know, we learn from all of this. He says that we learn from all of this only in passing. I think it's not in passing. I think it's extremely significant. What we learn from all of this is that we have now, when a rabbi says something, you have to take it seriously. Because if you don't take it seriously, you're going to make a tragic mistake. And I'll explain exactly what he's referring to. There's a great debate that has been raging in America so much for the last 20 years. The debate has heated up in the course of the last year. How is one supposed to learn Tanakh? So there's one approach that is a classic Israeli approach. And it's going to be difficult for me to present both sides of the debate. Because I am clearly on one side of the debate. And here's the beautiful proof. There are those who say that the responsibility is to teach and learn to not begola ha'inayim. The term is begola ha'inayim at eye level. Eye level means what I am and how I understand it. That's the way I'm supposed to look at it. I'll give examples now. There's another approach to Tanakh that says, listen, the people who inhabit the Tanakh are people of such stature, we cannot judge them in any way on the basis of our own feeling and our own approach. And I can give you a lot of examples that will leave you, I'll have to bring you off your efforts. And there I am with sense that minding my own business on Rosh Hashanah in the morning. And the Kriya Sahara is about Avram being told by God to send away Hagar and Ishmael. He puts the boy on her shoulder, gives her a canteen of water, and they are disemployed. And she goes out into the desert, she wanders, and she thinks that both are done. So what the rabbi, this is a patriarch. He sends them out with a canteen of water. He couldn't accept a water canteen of water. Therefore, he has already increased the power on the basis of his the English translation of the Kodesh. He has already arrived at the Kodesh that Abraham Avinu is full of chesed. This is serious. Yehuda, you understand, commits a terrible act with Tamar. And he's yet the one who says, my terrible thing he did, send her out and have a word to say. Of course, the Gopa Inayim people, the ones who know how to look at Tanakh, they have said. Right? Of course, when they come to David and Bathsheba, that's the field of that.
Says, making the cross of time, men
if you really learn the story of my own freedom and go through to the depth of how hurt it does here, and it's amazing how our analysis will remind you to come on that the marrying of hope and good were appropriate at the time. Life would have been clean, not that clean. If you don't need this great analysis, your conclusion you will reach a nihilism is kind of terrible. It's kind of terrible. But the thing that Yahweh said, Machon Shino was Shnei Gidolei Hador, two giants of the generation. If your rabbi said they were two giants of the generation, you better believe it. And therefore, if you can't achieve that kind of knowledge, you better learn and learn until you can. But you cannot learn to not. I'm just counting to nothing. It's me, and A, and I, and J, and I can just enter whichever actions. I don't say that these are things that rise. But I was a little crazy earlier this year, and I'm not aware of what they do to Yosef and his brothers. Well, it's bad enough that they sin. They even say, and the Torah says it, but when things go by, mind guys, get to work on it. You don't even recognize them as the brothers. They turn into such horror instead of horror. And you know, of course, the fault of this is, I've never done anything of the sort. Me, the parish has said, no problem. Others, we need to see ourselves as rising so much higher than the people of God. It's dangerous. It's awesome. So I said, yes, we have called this article. Why did Yosef write the letter home? He's the code 70 man to Pharaoh. Why doesn't he write a letter home? Come on. What are you supposed to do? Whose life and death we celebrated yesterday, Status of an Israeli citizen, but he never set foot in America's heart.
Thank you. And when he comes home, Elkanah Yehuda
He had to learn something about his death, of her need for a child, and her great piety. He never really knew his son as he knew her now, and therefore he never loved her as much as he loved her now. So the word that he did not use as the word for love is not some kind of euphemism so we shouldn't have to talk in physical terms. It's the essence of the nature of the relationship which is being described. So when Naomi has a friend in the shoulder of her husband, and she keeps her kind of instructed of another fact in the same before, I told her, Luke Hamawavir says to Naomi, here's when I started letting go to the field where I thought she was, and we were together on the sheaves of grain. I'm proud of sharing this up and hanging up, following the person who might only favor his eyes. I told her, and she said to her, we'll have to read next week a description of a lot of process taking place over here. There's a lot, there are all sorts of things that fall or drop off and happen in the field that the poor are committed to take, such their own. And normally, you understand, in this wealthy home, and Ruth, the princess, the daughter of Aegon, came to Moab, and now joining the lowest level of the economic strata, that ain't none lower. And most probably, when it said that Ruth and Moabia, why did she destroy the Moabia? Don't you know that already? It may be, just imagine, that other people, they're sitting at home, nobody knows, nobody comes to visit. Ruth blames herself. He says, she thinks to herself that everything is happening to Naomi because of me. It's just not ready to accept the shiksa who has converted. She may have some idea that maybe there are Jews who also don't want to know Naomi because Naomi had abandoned them. But she feels that it's her responsibility. And because it's her responsibility, she feels that she's the one who should go out and gather grain in the field. It must have been a difficult decision until she finally said it. And Ruth, Naomi was not the one that wanted to approach the subject, but it reached the point that nobody else could hear them. So she says, Lafiti, go my daughter. But David, my father, oh, what a two beautiful, I would love these two of my daughter. Oh, not David, she went, but probably she came back. Well, wait. But the prophet told them that she begins gathering grain in a field. But Rocky was so that after that approach, she gathered grain in the field and in the harvesters, but he carried it there. What in two words. And it happened. Did you there? It just so happened. She doesn't know, but the first step that she has made out of the house in Bethlehem, the Hashgacha, the divine providence, is working over time. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the relation is waiting up there in heaven. When is Ruth going to finally walk out of the house? Because God is only in elbows with help themselves. And the moment she gets out there into the field, the legend says to his angels up in heaven, guys, this is it. We're going to work now. All these steps that I thought had planned, not only for good, for daughter, the Kleinsfeld, for Mashiach, there's not much time left. Phobos is not going to live much longer. There's not much time left. I'm telling you, when she starts walking on the road, there must be great joy in heaven. The journey of history has begun. But wait a minute. Why does it say about Pelech Batoho? This is something we can only know. She went and she came back. When we go someplace that we don't know well, we keep looking back to see,
20 blocks. There's a bank up a road at the corner. One corner, the bank is right at the other corner. There's a pie sign over there, you know? And then you press a step back. You ever notice the rain someplace you never went before? How long it takes to get there, and how clear it is to go back. And she said, he hasn't. She said, she doesn't know where she's going. She's not able to find a way back to the fields. The Lord says, also, see, Molly, she made signs on found she had a little Swiss army penknife with her. And what she had learned in those guys, she was making signs. So she went, and she came back, and she left, and she came back. Is there also another hesitation? It's going to be difficult for her to walk into that first field and present herself to some of these sex-moving, poverty-stricken players. And she's going to have to stop. The princess is going to stop picking up her name from the field. The Vatican and the Vatican, and they will say, represents, first of all, yes, her hesitation, and that she's taken steps to make sure that she gets all back, and it also represents the emotional and the intellectual hesitation. She's coming, and she's going, and she finally takes the step of going into the field. And then she doesn't have a clue. She still is going to have a long day until she begins to see a glimmer of hope. But we know already. We know already that the arranged letter is working long before out of the day. And how it just so happens. Ha ha! Like he can't really care. What an interesting word to use. You know who else used a word like this? Eliezer, when he comes from Haran to find a wife for Israel. So he prays to God, happy day, Lord from Israel. Make it happen before me today. And usually the word Mikhail would seem to be precisely the opposite of divine providence or shock of providence. But what it means in this context is, coincidentally, nobody else is involved. There's nobody else here. It's something that happens all on its own. It can't be attributed to any other person, being, or power. This happenstance, circumstance, it's all God's work. Nobody's there. There's nobody who comes out there and says, listen, if you're looking for a field, I don't feel it. There's a nice fellow there. What's he want? I can talk to all this for you. And how well, they said, and how the daughter married my third cousin, sorry, I know. There's no protection. There's no nothing. She just walks into the field. And that's the field of Boaz. And of course, from this point on further,